Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Something to say?
Follow us on Twitter
at TNT Radio Empire
and tweet back. You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Tanline Tuesday on Twitter at TNT Radio Empire. This picture of the lady that has a sign up that says, "I need more beer," and she's an old lady, and Craig, rightly so, thought it was a
She's crap, not part of Tanline Tuesday.
Crap story.
She's just a grandma that needs some beer.
She's not. I tweeted some that new bit where people just changed clothes in the middle of their bit.
You've seen
that? Yeah. Well, they did one.
That's
with
a popular TikTok.
Yeah. They did one with A-Rod and J-Lo, but they weren't dressed real sexy. They were dressed kind of. But they did some hot granddaughter and then her old grandma, she has like this leather strap.
Oh, I saw that.
I retweeted that. Oh, Chapman retweeted and I retweeted his. And it's she's a hot brunette. She's dancing around this leather strap bikini thing. And the grandma's kind of an overweight grandma with an overshirt on.
And they all switch outfits.
They switch, and she's got one of those outfits on. It's such a boner killer. But check it out. It is so gross.
You think that's the same outfit? Or she
no,
got one in her own
I don't
size?
Think, I don't think it's the same outfit because it couldn't have strapped around her like that. I'm sure she used elastic, and the hot chick used leather.
30 years from now, you'd be grateful for something like that.
30 years from now?
Yeah.
Who's going to be alive then?
Okay, 20 years from now.
Puss is dead.
There might be a couple stragglers.
I'm grateful.
Puss, I got. Well, you know what, though? I'm not grateful for that now. So that's a stupid thing. I don't want to see that now. You know? Mm-hmm. But it was funny, though. Check it out. I think I tweeted that out a couple of days ago. Waiting on Michael Imperioli, by the way.
Puss, according to Graham on the Twitter, it's called Final Fantasy because the studio had enough money to make one more game. Before closing, it became a hit. Saved the studio.
Well, that is a fun fact.
Yeah, well, it's a fact.
Dreams come true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasted a lot of time watching my friends play that game.
Well, you were high, though, were you?
No, totally.
Oh, okay.
Did you play yourself?
No.
Just
well, you would have been staring at something. You might as well stare at that.
Anytime there's a video game where it's not just like left or right and there's a map, you can just walk around. I just get lost. I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, that stuff surprises me. I don't know how to do that kind of crap.
I'm like, you got to go this way. I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Yeah. I'm out.
Yeah.
Today is Loretta Lynn's 88th birthday.
You better close your face and stay out of my way if you don't want to go to this city.
Pete Rose is 79.
Let him in.
Wow.
The Hall of Fame. Let him in.
I like the idea of other halls of fame letting him in.
That'd be fun. Yep. Yeah. Give him the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Doesn't take much getting there anyway.
Put him in the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Just get baseball's attention.
Right.
We're also celebrating National Ex-Spouse Day.
Who the hell celebrates that?
Well, I
want to celebrate the separation.
Yeah, celebrate that they're gone.
I don't have an ex-wife, so that means wife, right? Spouse.
No, it encourages those who have dissolved a marriage to forgive their former spouse and move beyond any anger or bitterness that may remain.
Oh, I've been there for a long time.
So this is your day to commemorate your greatness and how you've been able to do that.
Your divorce, you forgave her years ago, right? Puss, Craig?
Yeah.
Okay. Not Puss, Craig.
Whatever.
Didn't mean to call you a puss.
Yeah. I think you can forgive somebody and still cringe at the mention of their name.
I got a few of those. Yeah. And they probably cringe at me. I know they do.
Yeah, but they weren't spouses.
No, they weren't spouses. Yeah. I was never, I had no other wife.
So you needn't reconcile.
I have one wife. I had one wife. All right. I think a lot of people are going back and revisiting this show.
Well, you can because HBO On Demand is free.
I watched it in real time originally, and changed a lot of people's lives, including this guy's life.
And Steve Schrippa, and he do a podcast called Talking Sopranos. Michael Imperioli joins us. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you calling it. They, you know, obviously, we love the show. We watched it first run. The podcast thing is obviously, you know, people are really into this now. What made you and Steve decide to do this?
Because you're experts?
Well, to be honest, it wasn't our idea. We were approached several months ago by some podcast producers and said they knew that we were friends. We've done an Inside the Actor Studio type stage.
Got it.
You know, thing on stage live about The Sopranos. And they said, would you be into doing a podcast? And we talked about it. And one of the reasons we thought it would work is a whole other generation of people who were too young to watch the show when it aired for the first time are obsessed with the show. I'm talking about late teens, 20s, early 30s.
That's a great point, because we're about your age. So you're right. It was 99 to 07, and to us, it seems like it was yesterday. And that's a long time ago. I didn't realize that a lot of younger people are really starting to get into that.
When it was first run, did you watch?
I did, and I haven't watched since then. I didn't. I watched it in the initial airing, and have not revisited the show till now. Which is one of the fun things about this show is that I'm rediscovering it and examining things and seeing things that I haven't seen since, you know, they first were on the air.
Yeah, I didn't like the sanitized, Spike took it for a while? I think it was on Spike TV, and it was cleaned up, and it just wasn't the same.
Yeah.
No, that's not the way it's meant to be.
No, absolutely not. Never understood that, but, well, of course, you can get it now and watch it on HBO, you know. So a lot of younger people are watching it, so, and they're in the podcast. Everybody's in the podcast, for that matter. So you sit down and discuss one episode or just the whole general show together?
We go episode by episode. So an episode of our show is dedicated to one episode. And some of them we have guests. We had Robert Eiler, who played Anthony Jr. on recently. We had Jamie Lynn, who played Meadow.
Sure.
Our first guest was supposed to be Edie Falco in the studio in New York. And then in the middle of March, we decided we weren't going to do it at all. I mean, we announced to the public we were doing this at the end of February.
Yeah.
We hoped to release them in April. And then we said, you know what, let's forget this till everything's done. And then we got all kinds of messages from fans saying, hey, we're waiting for this. You know, we're in sheltering in place. We're in quarantine. We're rewatching the show. Where's the podcast? So we talked about it and figured out a way to do it remotely.
I was told there's some spoilers in case people are just, you know, now getting familiar with the show. That
well, if you're watching
your podcast, has a spoiler or two in it. Do you alert folks to
watch
that?
You should watch the episode. Watch the episode first, and then listen to our discussion about it.
You're not spoiling the end or anybody. You're right. You're just doing each episode at a time, so it'd be very easy to stay with it that way. Just watch the episode first before you listen to the podcast. Michael Imperioli was him and Steve Schrippa, who we talked to before, actually.
Yeah.
Talking Sopranos, now available on the podcast. So you do every show and discuss it. And behind-the-scenes stuff, all crazy stories about what happened behind the scenes?
Behind the scenes and also our own lives and how it related to the show, how our lives changed because of the show, what was life before the show, you know, my career as an actor and life as an actor. Steve Schrippa had a whole life in the Vegas casino business.
I know.
Entertainment director of Riviera Hotel.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, he ran
so we go into all that kind of stuff, but usually as it somehow relates to that episode. You know, I wasn't sure how it was going to work, but people have been loving it. We've had hundreds of thousands of downloads since it aired, went on the air last week. And it's been pretty overwhelming.
Well, we have our own tribute to the Sopranos.
We do.
The Big Pussy character was killed. We said that we are going to take the next intern who we brought in, and we will name him Big Pussy. And he's our producer to this day.
Yep.
So, yeah, he's been Big Pussy.
And he's okay with that?
Yeah.
He's been big pussy.
he has no choice.
It's been 20 years, Michael. It just goes over my head at this point. It's not even a thing.
It's usually just puss, but you're right. It's crazy that he's been with us 20 years. He was 19 at the time, and now he's big pussy, and you figure out. You do the math.
Wow.
Wow. I love that you said wow. Michael, listen, I know. Well, ask you, I'm sure you've been asked this 1,000 times. We never talked to you about it, but I'm glad you're revisiting it first, because a lot of people that do shows, they love at the time period, but they try to move on and do other things. I know you've done a ton of other things since then, but I think this is great for the fans that people want to know about what happened. I like the ending. I had no problem with the ending. Obviously, it was controversial. How'd you feel about the ending of the show? Without giving...
I like it as well.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
I liked it as well.
All right.
I mean, I think the fact that it's 13 years later, mm-hmm. and I still get asked about it all the time,
yeah.
I think means that it was pretty effective, you know? I think that it's very mysterious still to me in a lot of ways. Sometimes I still think about it and try to, you know, sort it out. And I still don't know for sure what happened.
Well, that probably leaves it that way.
You probably got a couple theories.
No. Well, everybody has their own little fit theory.
My theories have changed, you know. I always thought that he died. Like, it was the most, you know, the blackout was him blacking out.
Right.
You know? And then, you know, after hearing David Chase talk about it, I'm not so sure. I'm not really sure what happened.
Well, I think that's what left up for everybody's imagination, what they can do with that the ending of that show. Now, without giving anything away, because I'm not going to, but there are people that want to check out The Sopranos first run and listen to the podcast. Did every season you pick it up and say, oh, I hope I don't die. I hope I don't die. Because I'm not going to say anything, but there were a bunch of seasons where you were fine. Your character was fine physically. Did you hope you didn't die every season?
You know, of course I wanted to stay on as long as I can, but...
Right.
I wasn't, when I think about it, I wasn't really worried, which I guess is probably stupid because I probably should have been, but
yeah.
I always felt he was too colorful a character to get rid of.
That's true, and he was.
Yeah.
He was, and he was necessary to the plot line, I thought, too, for that matter. Your character, actually, Michaels, was, and Shripa, too, for that matter. He was a lovable character. Everybody loved him, with all your faults, being in the mob and all. So, the podcast...
Yeah, talking, but you never knew. There were no guarantees, you know what I mean? I mean, Big Pussy got killed in the first... the end of the second season.
Yeah, so spoiler.
That established that nobody was safe, yeah. Really, right?
But Big Pussy lives in our production room over there.
Yeah, or his memory, at least.
Talking Sopranos. What are you doing, by the way? Where are you quarantined?
California.
You got the family?
I was supposed to be in New York,
yeah.
Recording.
Mm-hmm.
But I go back and forth between New York and California. And I wound up being here when everything shut down. So we were supposed to record, you know, in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
This show, and now we're doing it from our, you know, in our pajamas or whatever.
How many days you've been locked down? Are you keeping track?
It's been just about a month.
Yeah, that's about all of us, about a month right now. Michael, thanks for the podcast. Thanks for all your work. And when the quarantine breaks, we'll talk again, all right?
Sounds good. Thank
all right.
you.
All right. Take care, man.
Thank you, Michael.
The best part about that, although it was a great interview the whole way through, is when he went, wow, about puss being called.
Yeah, I'm a father now.
The name stuck.
I know, but it is. Chris from The Sopranos goes, wow, man. He's okay with that?
I really didn't have a choice. Just kind of stuck.
Yeah, well, you joined us the summer of 2000 as an intern. And Sopranos started in 99.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You are dead now. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Todd, my dad's big pussy.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah. There's one unlucky soul that has to say that.
Yeah. Todd, it was Todd's idea. And I said, sure, I don't care. Call him Big Pussy.
It had legs.
It did.
And you know, as far as the ending of that show goes,
yeah.
Love it or hate it, it's memorable.
Well, it is.
I mean, it's memorable.
And I listen. If it had been a big, somebody walks in the dining room and just shoots everybody up, I understand people would have loved that too. But I still think you can think they lived and they just went on in life, or he was shot, you know.
I think any way they would have ended that show
right.
would have been controversial.
Right.
It would have. There's no ending that they could have made to satisfy everybody.
Although I did, I saw a story about great endings, and I don't know, now that people are sitting at home, and if you never saw 6 Feet Under, it's an amazing show.
That's another one that HBO is offering up for free now.
Okay, watch it. And I'm not just, you know, I hate people always say
Do they wrap it up nicely?
Well, it's one of the best endings in TV history, and I'm not giving anything away, but that show was about a mortuary. And it started out with the death of just some random person, always crazy, weird, wacky. And then it took it right back to the nursing home. And now the character, excuse me, not nursing home, the mortuary. All the characters are great. Two brothers run the place. It's the storylines go in and out, a bunch of different characters coming in and out of the show. But when the show ends, the last half hour of the show are scenes about how all the main characters die in the future. And it's such a great ending. And it doesn't give anything away.
Oh, so it wraps it up
nicely. They wrap it up because the show was about a funeral home and everybody and people dying. But all the main characters, the last half hour of the show shows how they die in the future. You know, it's just so heart-wrenching. It's so great. It's about life.
They kind of did that with the finale of Veep here recently.
Yes, they did.
They flash forward to show you kind of how everybody ended.
Where she's dead. Okay. Yeah. This one shows every character's individual death. And it's a little vignettes that happens, but it's... But once again, the whole show is really good. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah, but Veep was a very satisfying ending.
Yes, it was.
It was.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I don't think any show that you were really a fan of where you invested 6, 7, 8, 10 seasons, I don't think there's no way you're going to please everybody with an ending.
Well, I was totally pleased. You know? Yeah, you're right. Oh, you're not.
You're never going to please everybody.
I don't know why you wouldn't like the 6 Feet Under ending. It was pretty cool, but who knows? Who knows? You know?
What if you've enjoyed a show for that long? Like, oh, I've liked the show for 6, 7 years.
Right.
But that last episode, why just be mad about episode?
There were people pissed at the Seinfeld ending. It's like, because the show was about a show about nothing. So the ending was just like, hey, they're all dicks in jail, you know?
Like, that ended up being perfect, too, because they ended with the same line they began with.
Right.
They brought the whole thing back. It was all about nothing.
Didn't bother me.
Yeah, you can't just do like a regular episode for the last one.
No. Not for Seinfeld.
I thought the
Modern Family was good.
The Americans ending
great
recently
ending.
Was. Well,
oh,
I was very satisfied with that.
Satisfied, heart wrenching, sad. Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
I was a little disappointed with Sons of Anarchy.
Well, you know.
Well,
you know what? I still don't think Jax does that to himself.
No, I don't think so either.
I think that's a total cop-out.
That's where I was less than satisfied.
I think he had two kids. He would have stayed an outlaw his whole life. I didn't like that ending either, although I loved the show and didn't ruin it for me.
Now we're spoiling the endings of series for a lot of people.
No, we're not.
This stuff's been off the air for 5, 10 years now. It's your window's passed.
Right.
We can talk about it. Right.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, now.
On Bob Ross's YouTube page.
He's dead, by the way.
You can find all 31 seasons of his show, about 403 approximately 30-minute episodes.
Were they all separate paintings?
Yeah.
Each one was one
painting per episode.
I thought so. I've never seen it. I've watched it enough.
Well, actually about 3 paintings per episode is what he did.
Oh, did he?
I mean, they showed one, but he actually did 3.
Oh, really? He did? Okay, got it. Okay.
Yeah, one to practice on, one to start with, and then I think the last one is the one that he did on the TV show. And they've still got just about all of his paintings.
I'm probably in the minority.
And they don't get sold.
Why don't they get sold?
They want them all.
Huh.
Yeah. I was never enamored by that guy. Probably because I can't paint.
No, no, my
because I have no artistic talent.
No, my aunt did that. She did it by watching the show, and she did pretty decent. She's not an artist at all. She's no longer with us.
I can't paint, but yeah. Watching his show,
it's just fluffy.
It's interesting. Yeah. It soothes the brain.
Yeah.
It calms me.
It's a hangover
me.
Show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I got Curious George for that.
Yeah.
If I need to reprogram my brain, yeah. I put on an episode of Curious George.
This is yellow.
Yeah.
Like, oh, right, good.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
I'm back on track. I think his paintings suck, too.
Yeah, they do. They do suck. I mean, that's why they're so simple to do.
Yeah.
Right. They're pretty basic. Right.
Yeah. Like, oh, another lake with trees around it.
Right, yeah.
But Bob Ross is more of a...
Yeah, as a personality, he's great.
It's more of a philosophy, if anything. You know,
yeah,
we don't make mistakes. We just have happy little accidents.
Yeah. It's a way of life.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That sounds
yeah.
like you pooped yourself. A happy little accident, doesn't it?
Right.
I had one of those the other day.
Your pants still stink, though.
Yeah, it was a happy little accident, but my ass stinks.
I mean, I was the only one that was happy about it.
Sure was. Go soap that up real quick.
Didn't his son do it for a little bit after that?
I think he tried,
and
yeah.
And then nobody cared.
For maybe one or two seasons.
Not the same.
No. But the same.
You got to get the fro going, dude. Yeah.
Matt Ross is not Bob Ross.
No, he's not. You're not your father.
Doesn't even look like a tree.
That looks like a very unhappy little tree.
It's got to be quicker, Craig. You got one.
The Hindustan Times reports that some regional police officers made about 10 tourists who had disregarded lockdown restrictions. Had about 10 tourists write, "I didn't follow lockdown, I am sorry," at least 500 times after they ignored orders to stay quarantined.
Oh, that's like junior high school stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the people came from Israel, Australia, and Mexico. They weren't doing the right thing in India, so they had to write this out. The lead cop threatened to get the visitors banned from the country if they didn't do it. Some people called the incident light punishment, as others who have broken India's lockdown were reportedly seen being beaten and flogged.
I know they're right.
You're right. I didn't see guys with sticks. Cops in India with sticks just spanking guys in the ass. They were riding bikes. These guys got to write an essay?
No, they had to.
Whatever, they had to write down.
Write, "I didn't follow lockdown, I am sorry," at least 500 times.
There's got to be at least one guy that's hoping to get flogged. "I'm outside."
"Whatever you do, don't spank my ass."
Yeah.
Stupid
down
music.
In McAllen, Texas is probably thinking that right about now.
Yeah, we had Mark on earlier. He swore on the web there, on the internets.
Does that come up in the podcast?
Yeah.
No. Nope.
Do you get the you get the radio edit on the podcast.
J.R. Brow, check out J.R. Brow's Musical Interludes on Facebook. And Michael Imperioli, The Sopranos, the podcast, available now, each podcast. Our podcast is TNTRadioEmpire.com. Download it. Patronize the advertisers. They need your help right now.
Talking to John Morgan tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
That'll take up probably half the show.
I eat pecker cheese.
And Bill Engvall and Dennis Quaid.
All tomorrow?
All tomorrow.
All right. Well, I'll be back tomorrow, too. Stay safe. Stay inside.
Wash your hands and wash them right.
Yeah.
Work on your short game.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Hey, it's Todd and Tyler.
And thank you for listening to the podcast.
Please take a second to tell us how much you like the podcast.
And don't forget to comment.
Thanks again. On to the next podcast episode.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.